the Apostle Paul, John the Apostle, he said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard a loud voice behind him like a trumpet. And one of the things, among other things, that the Lord said, come up hither. We would say, come up higher. And God wants to bring us up higher today through His Word. Every time we meet, every time we gather together on Sunday morning or other services, God is bringing us up higher. Amen? So how do you do that? You listen intently to what God is saying to you today. Amen? Praise God. We've been talking for the last four sessions about living by the Word of God. Living by the Word of God. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 again. This is our main text that we've used in this particular series right here. Amen? Are you ready? It says, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, and there He was tempted of the devil. And when He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He afterward hungered. And when the tempter, that's the devil, came to Him, He said, if Thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So we see there's a conversation going on here. The devil's talking to Jesus, but then Jesus has the final word here. In verse 4, He answered and He said, and He talked back to the devil, or thoughts. Bad thoughts can be satanically inspired, or they are satanically inspired. But notice that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Hadn't we seen that? Now, I want you to see here that in this particular thing, there's so many different areas that we can glean from this and go in different directions. But I want you to see here that Jesus, the way that He responded to the enemy is the same way that you and I are supposed to respond to the enemy. Okay? And when the enemy puts a thought in your mind, you know, because if the enemy appeared to you in that red suit and pitchfork and horns, like you see in the cartoon characters, and you saw that, you would say, that's the devil, I ain't going near him. I ain't talking to him. But that's not how He approaches us. Is that right? He's ever approached you like that? No. The way that He approaches you and I, just like Jesus, is in the thought realm. And that's why 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says that, you know, that we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So in other words, thoughts can come and thoughts will go. And if they're not of the Lord, satanic thoughts, demonic thoughts, or destructive thoughts, doubtful thoughts, thoughts of fear, those are all spawned from the enemy. But it's how we deal with those thoughts, it's how we deal with those things when they come that will make the difference. Everybody smile right now. Okay? Put on the joy of the Lord this morning. Okay, this is not a serious time where you can't have fun. Enjoy your Christianity today. Don't look like you're on jury duty now. Okay? But enjoy your Christianity. Enjoy what the Word has to say. Because, listen, Jesus didn't show us this just for the sake of this is how the Son of God operates. He showed us how we are to operate in this life. Jesus said, Paul said, be imitators of Me even as I am of Christ. We're to mimic Him. We're to be like Him. Amen? And the way that Jesus dealt with the enemy is the same way you and I are going to have to deal with the enemy. So what did He do? He said, it is written. So what did Jesus do? He quoted a verse. Now that tells me something else. Jesus didn't fumble and stumble and say like, you know, I know there's a verse somewhere. I think it's in it has to be the Old Testament because the New Testament wasn't written yet. Right? He didn't fumble and He didn't stumble and say, I know there's a scripture there somewhere. It might be in Numbers, it might be in Deuteronomy. No, He had the Word of God on the inside of Him so that when the pressure that the enemy put on Him was applied, immediately a scripture came up inside of Him. And isn't that what the Bible says, that one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to bring all things to our remembrance? He will teach you all things, and He will guide you in all truth, and He will show you things to come. Amen? And He'll bring all things to your remembrance. He deals with the past, the present, and the future. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen? So, when you're reading the Scriptures and you're listening to the Word of God like today, or you're driving in the car and you have a tape on or whatever, and you're in your house and you're listening to the scriptures, what's going on at that point? You're hearing words, but it may seem as if it's not really doing anything for you. However, there's word being deposited inside your spirit. Amen? And at the time of need, that word can come up and release it through your mouth, and it'll do spiritual warfare against the enemy. And the greatest way you can do spiritual warfare is by speaking what God said. Notice it says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we talked last week about why we can live by the word of God. Why can we live by the word of God? And we saw that in, and I'm just going to reiterate because of time, in Genesis, the third chapter, you don't have to turn there. But we saw that God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord told Adam and Eve, he said, of all the trees in the garden, he says, you may freely eat of it, but the tree in the midst of the garden, he said, that belongs to me. He said, if you partake of that tree, and that day you will surely die. Remember that? Because that tree belonged to God. And man, he had all the other trees in the garden that belonged to him. But he disobeyed God. And the Lord said, he said, the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. So what happened? We saw a progression here that the devil, through the serpent's body, came. It must not have been an unusual thing in the book of Genesis for animals to speak. Or they would just jump back and said, do you see that? Eve, do you see that? Adam, do you see that? That snake is talking to me. So it seems that if prior to the fall that animals could have conversations. Okay? Now you'll see in the millennium, which is the thousand-year reign of Christ, which isn't here yet. It will come. We'll be a part of that. The Bible says the lion will lay down with the lamb. And a kid will play in a snake's den, but nothing, the curse will be removed. Nothing will hurt, nothing be destroyed. No more thorns, no more thistles. Nothing that hurts, nothing that destroys. Because the whole curse that Adam brought into this earth will be removed from this earth. Okay? Are you with me? Did I lose anybody on that one? Okay. So, the enemy wanted to sow doubt into Adam and Eve's mind about what God said. So, why can we believe, why can we live this life that we're talking about? Living in this particular thing. Living by the Word. It's because God is a man, not a man. He's full of integrity. What does that mean? What God says will come to pass. Are you all with me now? I'm telling you, what God says is the truth, no matter what. But the enemy would come to Adam and Eve and said, you know, God really doesn't mean that. He knows that the day that you eat of this tree, he says, you're going to be just like gods. So he's playing on their ego. He said, if you do this, you'll have this. The fact of the matter is, they were already made in God's likeness and God's image. They were already in God's class. Adam and Eve were not deficient. They weren't second class. Adam and Eve were made in God's likeness and God's image. They had everything in them, everything. But see, the enemy came to them and lied to them and said, God doesn't really mean this. You're going to be missing out on something. Are you with me now? With that thought in mind, let's go over to, Go over to Hebrews chapter 11 for a minute here. Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse 24. The enemy got Adam and Eve to question what God said. Now, you know, there's a difference between having a question and having a questioning spirit. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You look at the, for example, in the Bible, in the New Testament particularly, when the religious people, the Pharisees and the scribes and so forth, would try to trap Jesus. They didn't have questions. They were questioning him to trap him. There's so many different occasions they try to put him in a situation because they really weren't wanting the truth. They were trying to trap Jesus. They had a questioning spirit. And the devil is the master at putting questions on the inside of our mind. Do you really think God meant this? Okay? I mean, just a few minutes ago, we're taking communion, and you could have had a thought on the inside of you thinking, a doubtful thought, thinking, I don't know if I'll receive healing today. I know pastor's talking about it, but maybe it's my day. Maybe I'll get it today. What is that? That's the enemy sowing a lie into your mind that it may not work for you today. Are you with me? See, God's word works all the time. Praise the Lord. The enemy will get us to question what God's word says. And he'll always make sin look pleasurable when its goal is to destroy a person. Now look at Moses right here. We see this scripture right here. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, Moses was the next one in line to the throne in Egypt, wasn't he? If you know anything about this story about Moses, he was the next one in line. But then he found out his real true bloodline, that he was Hebrew. And it says there that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, I'm not going to live a lie because I'm really Hebrew. And he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, he could have chosen to say, we'll just keep this a big secret. Nobody else will know about this. I'm really Hebrew, but you know, I want that throne. He could have done that. Amen. But it says that sin has pleasure for a season. And I will submit this to you. It's a very short season. I mean, let's stop and think about it. If sin was not pleasurable, nobody would sin. Do you all agree on that? If sin wasn't pleasurable, nobody would do it. But there's always that cheese on that piece of bait, on that trap. Are you with me? And his goal is to trap you and snare you in this kind of a thing here. Amen? So, I'm saying that to say this. God always means what he says. Why can we live by the word of God? Because God says the truth all the time. He doesn't say one thing and then do something else. We saw last week in John, the 8th chapter, the 44th verse, that Satan is called the father of lies. He's the father of lies. Can I ask you a question right now? Have you ever asked God for something in prayer, and then a second or two later, you had this thought come to your mind, you're not going to get it this time? Has anybody ever? I could raise my feet on that one. Someone says, well, that's just my thinking. That's just, no, it's not. It's not just your thinking. See, thoughts are spiritual. And it's either from the devil or it's coming from God. And there's no in between. There's no neutral territory here. It's either God or the enemy. And the thoughts that are coming to you, you have to decipher between, is that God speaking to me or is that the devil speaking to me? So, you know, Satan always brings discouragement, fear, doubt. You're not strong enough. You don't know enough scriptures. You haven't been to Bible school, this thing and that thing, you know. I remember way back in when I was going to Rhema Bible Training Center in 1982, I had answered the call to the ministry. And make a long story short, I was absolutely in shock and awe that God would even talk to me about going into the ministry, because like I said, if you've been around any time long, you realize I couldn't even get in front of people. I couldn't talk in front of people. That was the last thing on my list that I'd want to do. I failed speech class in school. Not proud of it, but I got an F. Okay? And that's the way it was. That stuck with me because in the natural, I couldn't. Now, maybe that wasn't your weakness, but I'll tell you, in the natural, I could not talk publicly in front of people. I would run from that. So when God started talking to me about going to the ministry and he wouldn't leave me alone about that, I thought, God, you got the wrong person. So I finally submitted to God and I did what he wanted me to do, went to get training and so forth. But I remember when I first went down to Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is in 1982. It's been a few years. And I'd never been in that part of the country ever before. I mean, the furthest I went was like Ohio or something like that. You know what I'm saying? We were homebodies, you know? And but I remember sitting in the sanctuary, the main auditorium, the RCA auditorium there at Rhema Bible Training Center, and sitting there, and I'm listening to Brother Kenneth Hagin, and I'm only a few feet from him, you know, 10 or 12 feet from where I'm sitting, and I'm listening to this guy that I so respected in the faith, you know. And then other people like Joel Osteen's father would come in there, and Lester Summerall, and Dr. Cho, you know, Paul Youngie Cho from Seoul, Korea, has the largest church in the world, a couple of million people, you know. And people like this were coming in to this school where I was sitting. I felt so honored and so privileged. And Oral Roberts and people, Richard Roberts, people like this would come in and share at this school. So I just felt so honored. I can never understand why there was fellow students that had Hot Rod magazines and they're reading these magazines while the teaching is going on. I thought, they'll never make it. Are you with me? They'll never make it, ministry, if they're not interested in what this man is saying right now. I mean, it happened. Amen. And there are people like that in Jesus' ministry. They didn't pay attention. They didn't really know who he really was. They just took him for granted. They didn't really, if they really knew who this man was that was speaking, they'd have dropped everything and heard every word that he would hang on, every word he was speaking. All right? But it dawned on me one day, and this is after a couple of months being in school. And it was, I think Brother Hagin was actually sharing and teaching up there, and I was getting into, it was called Faith Library. That was our course at the time, okay? I still have it on an MP3, the classes and stuff, you know, you can go back and listen to it. And it suddenly dawned on me, and it was the Lord talking to me, not audibly with these ears, but inside me. He said, Keith, and I just heard it inside me as I'm listening to him. I hear him talking, I hear the Lord talking to me too. And that should not be an uncommon occurrence. If I'm speaking from the Word of God to you right now, the Lord can be talking to you right now, downloading some things into your spirit right now. I'm telling you. Praise God. See, the devil tries to break our attention and our focus, right? We're not going to let him do that. Amen? And all of a sudden, he shared this when he said, Keith, do you know that you have the same spirit of Holy Ghost that he has access to? Wow, never thought of it like that. He goes, do you know you have the same Bible that he has access to? I said, wow, yeah. He said, the only thing is he accessed it more than most of the people here. He says, but you can access it, the Word and the Spirit and prayer, just as much as he, Brother Hagin, did or any one of these guys did. It's what you do with the Word that matters. Amen. That set me free that day. They did not have an unfair advantage over me. Now, everybody has different callings and different anointings and different graces. We understand that. But all of us as ministers, we have, and people as Christians even, we have access to the Holy Ghost and the Word of God as much as any one of these guys do. But it's what we do with that that matters. It's what we do with that that matters. Are you with me now? See, I unconsciously, I learned some things way back when I first got saved, even before I went into the ministry. And I had some encounters with God as a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, 18-year-old, especially when I was about 19 years old, right around my high school, when I graduated from high school. I just had this, and I don't know what your background is, but I had this longing and a yearning on the inside of me. God, you're real. I know that you're real. I want to know you better. I don't want to just know about you. I've read books and I've seen other ministers and I've heard them talk about you, but I want to experience you firsthand. Little did I realize how God would grant me that request, because I was so green and so new and so fresh at this stuff. I didn't know anything. But all I knew was this. I had a hunger. Oh, Lord, I want to know you. I've got to know you more. And God began to answer that longing inside my heart to get to know him, to come to know him. See, sometimes people think you have to be in a church of 3,000 people in order for God to move in your life. No, you don't. No, you don't, baby. Okay? And here's another thing. A lot of people think that just because somebody has big numbers means that God must be validating them. That's not true. One time a guy was praying about enlarging his church, and this guy fell into a gopher hole, twisted his ankle. His ankle blew up real big. And the Lord said to him, he said, I told you not everything that's big is good. Now, God is definitely in the God is in the increase business. God is in increase and multiplying and stuff like, don't get me wrong, He is. But just because something is large doesn't mean that everything they do is of God. Are you with me now? Do you understand that? Because you can do things in the natural, in the flesh, to draw a crowd. You can do things in the natural to push the Holy Ghost out the back door and become seeker friendly. Are you with me now? Well, you do not allow God to move at all in a service. Okay? And unfortunately, through the last 15 or so years, there's been a lot of churches around the United States area, especially, that have embraced this only for the reason of wanting to increase numbers only. Okay? And they've left out the power of the Holy Ghost, no longer have altar calls, no longer baptisms of the Holy Ghost where people are being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, because they don't want to offend people. Okay? Well, something's wrong with that. I mean, we're going to push the Holy Ghost in a back room when He should be in the main sanctuary.
Right.
Are you with me? Well, we don't want to do that. Now, I'm not criticizing any person. I'm not calling out names or anything like that. You understand? It's the principle that we're talking about. All right? And it's so important that we understand that we have to honor the things of God. And I remember just crying out to God. I said, God, I just want to know You. I got to know You more. I remember driving down, for example, Interstate 79 in my red Ford pickup truck, working for a mining company back in those days, delivering parts to mines over West Virginia and Ohio and Pennsylvania all day long, just driving way back in the middle of nowhere. And I remember God just touching me. I couldn't wait to get out there. I couldn't wait to get my orders in that morning so I could take off, get in that truck, and spend time with God all day long. You know what I'm saying? Man, I wasn't bored for one second, because it was in that place where it was just me and God. There was no one else looking at me. There was no one in the passenger seat. God was there, of course, but I'm talking about a human being. And I kind of feel sorry for people that never got to experience that, because any one of us could access that. I said, God, I got to know You more. I want to know You more. And He began to manifest Himself to me in that cab of that truck. Man, if God can manifest in a cab of a truck, He can manifest anywhere. And I remember sometimes the Spirit of God would just touch me, and I knew so little about the moving of God back then, but now looking back, I'm telling you what, I experienced the move of God on me. And I would just begin to profusely just weep. Not because I was crying for sadness, I was joyful. God was on the inside of me. Amen? And I saw, little by little, I started to see God start to move in my life, and as things began to happen, and supernatural things began to happen. I just had a heart for people. And this is before I even knew I was called to be a pastor even. I just wanted to help people. I'd come across somebody in a little town somewhere, you know, and if I was maybe spending the night out of town somewhere, if it was a far enough drive, I'd be looking for people. Who can I touch? Who can I minister to? And I tell you, it was just an amazing thing. Praise God. I'd come across people of all kinds of backgrounds. But the move of God was so real on the inside of me. I couldn't wait. I had this little pocket, what do they call the Gideon's Bible? I had one of these little, it was a green color, the leather color was, I don't remember those. Little Gideon's Bible I'd put in my shirt pocket, you know, and I'd carry that thing everywhere with me. And there'd be times I'd have to pull over the side of the road and say, I gotta have a scripture fix. I gotta get some scripture right now. The Bible says that they addicted them, the New Testament church, they addicted themselves to the Word of God. One thing about an addiction, you got to have it. Listen, there's good addictions. Say, I just got to have my fix today. I got to have that word. Oh, I got to have some scripture today. I got to pray in tongues right now. I got to, amen. I know a lot of you are getting really quiet about this right now, but I'm telling you, this is how you keep yourself hungry and thirsty for God. It's so vitally important that we stay hungry and thirsty for God. We have to stay hungry and we have to stay thirsty for God. That's our only answer. Now, the more hungry and the more thirsty we are for God, the more help is on the way. Because I've faced, like you have at times, I've faced some Goliaths in my life that were standing before me and they're mocking me saying, you ain't coming past me. And that Goliath could be anything. That Goliath could be an intimidation or a financial need. It could be a social thing. It could be anything that's blocking you from receiving. But I'm telling you, the Bible says in the presence of the Lord, the hills will melt like wax. Amen. In the presence of the Lord, they have to melt. Mountains represent trouble. Mountains represent sickness. Mountains represent anything that's of the curse. But it says that in His presence, the hills will melt like wax. Bless the Lord. And all you're doing is just acknowledging God. You're saying, oh, Father, You're God. You're Lord. Amen. Next time you face a trouble, some of you might be facing some of that right now. That's not a word of knowledge. It's just human nature. But you got some stuff that you're dealing with, some situations that you're dealing with, and that's across the board, you know. But you know what? You ought to do this and just shock the devil someday. Because he's used to pressing a button in our life and we responded, oh, you know what I mean? And we start crying. He presses a button. We cry. No, don't let the devil make you cry. Now, if God does, it's a good thing. But don't let the devil make you cry. You stand up, wipe the tears off your face, say, no, I am going to rejoice right now. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man, I'm telling you what, when you rejoice, and you say, oh, Lord, and then you're facing an impossible impasse in your life situation, you just say, oh, God, maybe you got a relationship problem, and you say, oh, God, thank You that You're bigger than this marriage problem or lack thereof or whatever. You're bigger. You're bigger. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. And you just get caught up in thanking Him. It's just you and God. No one else is there. You know what happens? God says, all right, we're going to send a legion of angels down there right now to help that man or that woman. Go. And the ministering spirits are loosed and they start to help. Amen? Amen. That's how it works. You look in the Old Testament. I mean, that's Old Testament. God would send the praisers, the most unusual armies you would ever see in your life. And they would inquire of the Lord, like Jehoshaphat. And the Lord told him, He said, send the praisers out in the front. Amen. And to get out there in the middle, I mean, in the front of the army. They're outnumbered anyway. And say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And they began to sing that. And all of a sudden, God sent confusion among the enemy. And they began to fight against one another and destroyed one another. Hallelujah. Only God could do that. Amen. They faced Jericho. God says, you know what? March around the wall. And on a certain day, was it the seventh day? He said, shout. For those tough stains, you have to shout them out. Amen. Glory to God. Don't whisper, shout. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. Amen. See, we're learning these things, but I mean, I was taught to be like a church mouse was reverence. You know, growing up in church, you know, shh, be quiet. This is God's house. Be quiet. Shh. Everybody be quiet, you know. And we think that's reverence. Now, being quiet, Bible does say, be still and know that I'm God. That can be a form of reverence. Sure, sure. But I submit this to you, that reverence is doing what God wants at that moment, at that time, and obeying. If God wants you to shout, you shout. Glory to God. Amen. And what happens? Chains fall off. I mean, scare that tar out of the devil. Amen. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Because Jesus is with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, when I was growing up, before I was sanctified, I had some friends. I remember when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, I had a friend of mine that had three big brothers. There was four boys in this family. Okay? And I was the same age as the youngest brother. Okay? We went to school together, lived in the same neighborhood, you know. And this particular family was, let's just say, they definitely weren't saved. They were not walking with God. And they were very rebellious, this family, these kids. And so everything and anything that was either immoral or illegal or fattening, they were involved with it. Okay? They were involved with it. And my friend, like I said, he was the youngest out of four brothers. And I personally, as I got older, I began to realize, you don't need to be hanging around this kid at all. You know what I'm saying? But when I was younger, you know, we didn't know these things. And so I would be in school with this kid. And he would do some of the most obnoxious things to people that were way bigger and older and stronger than him. I mean, practical jokes, do things, you know, I don't even want to mention what they were. They're so evil, some of the things he did. But I noticed this. He could almost get away with murder because if anybody touched him, his older, bigger brothers, and boy, they took care of business. It was like the mafia, I'm telling you, man. And I watched it firsthand. I saw it firsthand. I mean, if you messed with the younger brother who was my friend, I mean, you could be way bigger, way stronger, and his older brothers would just take them out, okay? And I remember there's this particular little trail that went down, cut through the woods area where our house was, and I mean, there's been many ambushments that took place there, you know, because people would cut through there, and they're just waiting for that kid that caused a problem with the younger brother, and they would jump on them, beat the tar out of them, you know what I'm saying? So nobody would mess with this younger brother, all right? And I thought about that, and the Lord brought that back to my remembrance. You know, he was fearless because he had bigger and stronger brothers to take care of him. And he was bold to do wrong things. Okay? He says, now, in your case, this is years later, okay, I'm walking with the Lord. Now, he says, do you see the false boldness that he had? Are you with me now? But he says, I'm with you 24/7. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Are you with me? Amen. And he says, you can have boldness even in the midst of trouble because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The God that made the universe dwells on the inside of us. Amen. If God be for us, we sang about it this morning, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. So you can wake up on a day like today and not feel that at all, but I'm telling you, it's the Word of God still true. If God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. Greater is he that's in me, 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And that sickness, that pain, nope, that's not greater. God's greater. God's greater. So, summing this all up to say this, we have to learn to talk back. What shall we say to these things? That's what Paul said. And he's talking about tribulation. Persecution in Romans chapter 8, peril, distress, lack. And Paul says, what shall we say to these things that he just mentioned? If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. So we have to say to these things, what's troubling you? What is it? You have to say to these things. And he tells us exactly what to say. If God be for us, who can be against me? This represents an unexpected bill that comes in, okay? Postman comes, you get the mail, you look at it, say, oh, look at that. Look at the size of that thing. Look at the zeros on the end of that thing. You know what you can do? If God be for me, who can be against me? Now that could be a bill, it could be a doctor's report, it could be anything. You doing that is going to make all the difference in the world. Amen?
Amen?
When my back was on the bed of that hospital just a few short months ago, I had to say those things over and over and over again. If God be for me, who can be against me? Amen?
Amen?
And I'm telling you, it releases spiritual power in the atmosphere. Now, I will say this as a word of caution. When you do that, you're going to have thoughts initially that are going to say, that ain't going to work for you. You're not strong enough in the Lord. That's not going to work for you. That's not going to work for you. And that's exactly, I'm telling off on the devil, right? That's exactly how he operates. Okay? But you just say, shut up, devil, and you just ignore him. You know, the best way you can intimidate the enemy is just ignore what he says. The devil says, I want to take you out in a car accident. You just say, you get in that car, turn the key on, say, thank you, Lord. Angels surround this car everywhere I go. Oh, bless the Lord. Angels surround me. And so you get acclimated to fighting back. See, you need to fight back. Who was it? Abraham Lincoln knew a guy that had a little dog. I was reading about this. It was just, it would tear up the big dogs. This little dog. And someone asked the owner of this little dog, how is it that your little dog beats up on all these dogs that are way bigger than him? He said, well, the guy with the little dog said, my dog, he starts out angry and mad. He goes, those big dogs, they get mad about halfway through the fight, and that's already too late. It's already too late. Amen? Amen? And so it's good to have that feistiness about you. You know, like we're not just going to put the little toe in the water here and just kind of get in there and, you know, no, I'm telling you, when the enemy, you stay mad in the sense, in a good sense. You say, no, devil, you ain't messing with me. You ain't messing with my family. You ain't messing with my body. You ain't messing with my finances. Amen? You're not messing with my marriage or whatever. And you stay mad, but you stay firm in the spirit realm. And I'm telling you, he cannot penetrate that. Do you know that? Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Stay firm. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And some of you, boy, I'm telling you, some of us, we just need to get down and just say, you know what? Give me the fire back, Lord. Because I've allowed some circumstances in my life to kind of put the fire up, put some wet blankets on me. And I'm not going to let, it's real subtle sometimes, but something, you just got to get out. A lot of times I'll just jump in the vehicle. God knows I put many miles on my cars through the years. But sometimes I just, like the other day, I said, Lynn, I'm going to be gone for the day. I'm taking a prayer drive. Okay? And I get in that car, and it's me and Jesus in that car for hours and hours and hours. Amen? Amen. And it's because sometimes, because of the pressing needs, see, not only in my sense as a pastor, that I have my own situations that I have to deal with that come against me personally, I got a whole congregation. And the temptation at times to be in fear and worry about people's needs in the church can be overwhelming. The Apostle Paul said the cares that, he said, not only the things I'm dealing with in the flesh, he said, but the daily care of the church has tried to come upon me. Amen? But, you know, we have to stand against that. And I realize, you know, I'm not the Savior. I can only help people to a certain degree, but I'll tell you what I can do. I can pray. And somebody comes to me and says, I got this dire situation. Well, you know what? I know the miracle worker. I'm not a miracle worker, but God is. Amen. And if I go to him, I'm looking to him only. He is going to help people. Yeah. Praise God. And I've seen it work so many times that when we give things to God, when we give it to him and we look to him, he can turn the situations around. Let's close with this because I'm almost out of time here. But Psalm 115, this will be our last scripture. Say, I want the fire back. Amen. When I was growing up, you know, when I was really young, I was probably 5 or 6 years old. My earthly father had a fascination for fire trucks and fires. And, you know, I don't know why, but he just did. But I remember one time he woke up my sister and I up in the middle of the night. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. And there was a building on fire down the street from us. He gets us up and throws us in the back of this big station wagon. Pajamas and all. Just to go watch a building on fire. Why did I say all that? Because when you're on fire for God, people are going to come and watch you. Okay? They're going to say, I don't know what it is about you, but I need something that you have. Amen? Amen? Let me tell you something. This world is bored, and they're just tired of just the way things are going. They want something with some passion. Amen? God, give us passion back again. Why? What? Serve God with passion. Do your job with passion. Amen? Make the difference. How are you going to make the biggest difference in your life? Be passionate about what you do. I don't care if you teach school or drive a truck or whatever. Be passionate about what you do. Have an enthusiastic spirit about you. Not like, okay, sirrah, sirrah, what will be, yeah, just another day. You know what I mean? Man, we shouldn't have that attitude. We should rip those covers off in the morning and say, all right, another day. Glory to God. I'm ready. Now, I'm not just saying that to hype y'all up here. I'm saying this is the kind of attitude we need to have. And when I get my feet on that floor in the morning, I mean, I'm half awake, and I stand, if it's 5 in the morning, where I'll go in that restroom, and I'll say, oh, God, thank you for this day. Greater is he that's in me. Thank you for a glorious day. I did that this morning. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. That was priming the pump, so to speak, before I got here this morning. Thank you, Lord. Great day today. Great service today. Great things taking place today. Amen. Amen. Boy, when you believe that, it just happens. Amen. So, we talked about, you know, why we can trust God. God is not a man that he should lie. It's impossible for God to lie. We saw that last week. And then God's word can be trusted every single time. And here's what I want to close with in Psalm 115, verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, now these are the tribes he's talking to, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. He said, well, I'm not of the house of Israel, I'm not of the house of Aaron. Well, look at the next verse. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. Amen? Amen. How many of you fear the Lord? That means you respect the Lord. Amen. I know you do, you wouldn't be here this morning. But he says right there, verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful to us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them. This is you and I right here in verse 13. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And then in verse 14, it says, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. 15, you are blessed of the Lord, which hath made heaven and earth. Do you see? There's a common word that's woven throughout this Psalm 115, and that is trust. Trust. On our dollar bill, you hold it up. You maybe haven't looked at it very long, but it says, in God we trust. But for far too many people, it's in this we trust. No, we trust in God. The reason that we trust in God is because when everything fails around us, He will never fail us. When the Ebola is all over the news and what's going on, and you do not have to be afraid of some little stinking virus. Okay? He will preserve you from the noisome pestilence in Psalm 91. That's what that is, a pestilence. Okay? We don't have to be afraid of that, because we're covered. But I wanted to conclude with this today, guys, because it's good to take a spiritual inventory once in a while, actually a lot. And you say, Keith, look in the mirror and you say, are you trusting the Lord today? Or you call your name out, you look in the mirror of your life and you say, am I trusting the Lord today, or am I in fear? Am I in unbelief? Am I afraid of what's going on in the world today? Well, if we're afraid, we're not trusting Him, right? But if I fear the Lord, that means I respect what He says. I don't have to worry about nothing. Glory to God. You have nothing to be afraid of today. All of you in this room right now, you have nothing to be afraid of. Because if God be for you, nothing can be against you. And the greater one lives and abides on the inside of you. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's close this morning. Father, I thank you so much. We give you thanks. We give you praise today, Father, for your wonderful. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Morning, Amenestias. Morning, Yasumanakambradianakamanakasa. Every village, Vibrocolo, Yanera, Dugiono, Selema, Kremeneki, Shashiaka, Zocomolo, Makoe, Mashui, Lamani, Samalo, Kamales, come alive, come alive, come alive, come alive, come alive. Membro Tocolo, Sicila, Keria, Sosoko. Can we just wait upon the Lord for a minute here? Just pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost. Praise your Father. Dokua halish handili handili hasukula madi kamana sosoko yamran gelege jutraselevi bibroto porta melegere dia shishia o kormanaka mere mere mala suka bokora menimba krusto soso faria suka mere bikala sumbro kuala bele bebre dia kelebir jondra soko tramambra kiasa mambo kumana kasa mambe mende 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 monde kisasia dakandasa. I hear this in my spirit, and I'll just speak it out as he gives it to me. It's a prophecy that he's ministering to my spirit right now. It's never, never vain to trust me, saith the Lord. Your mind may tell you, oh, you're wasting your time. Other people may say, you're wasting your time. But I say unto thee, you're never wasting your time. When you put your trust in me, and you say with your mouth, Lord, I trust you in this. I trust you in this situation. Then you literally unlock my power to be displayed on your behalf. Just that very phrase, I trust, I trust, I trust, will unlock the resources of heaven to minister to you in the areas that you need ministered to. So be bold to say each and every day, I trust God. I trust Him. I trust His Word. When you begin to declare that and you begin to decree that, the manifestation from heaven will be displayed on your behalf. And the trouble and the things that are causing you trouble have to go run and hide. Because my word will prevail and the light shall surely come. And then you'll be standing there and you'll look and you'll see the very desires of your heart standing right before you. But it all starts with trust. It all starts with you saying constantly, Lord, I trust you in this. I trust you in this conversation. I trust you in this investment. I trust you with this person. I trust you, Lord. And as you do that, and as you begin to say that, you will see my resources. You will see that help from heaven be displayed on your behalf, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise the Lord. Let's thank Him for that this morning. Say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. Hallelujah. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. If you're going to the doctor, you say, before you go there and while you're there inside you, you say, Lord, I'm trusting you today. Yes. Praise the Lord. You get an unexpected phone call from someone and it's a troublesome phone call and you're on the other end. You just, within yourself, you said, Lord, I'm trusting you in this situation. I look to you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I never saw it quite like that in that light. You can look up now. So I was just speaking that out of my spirit, that's the key right there. I trust you, Lord. That's really Psalm 91. I will save the Lord. He says, I will save the Lord. That's our job. I will save the Lord. You are my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I what? Trust. 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 Say, I trust God.
I trust God.
With every area of my life today. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I trust Him. I trust Him. I trust Him. When we do that, I'm telling you what, you just lined yourself up for miracles and things to change in your life. Why worry about something when you can trust God?